Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask this morning that you would open our hearts and minds so that we can hear the voice of your Spirit speaking to us today. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So, what's your favourite food?
Lobster.
Lobster. Ray likes lobster. Do you know they've got a lobster place at Kalgoorlie now?
No.
The lobster rolls and chips they serve for lunch.
Crunch chops.
Crunch chops.
Mama.
You grew up well. Other favourite foods?
Cheesecake.
Cheesecake. Some people do see dessert as the main meal. My favourite food is I like pizza. I actually like pizza that has a lot of toppings. I'm a person who likes olives and anchovies and all the good stuff on. Unfortunately, besides my elder son, no one else in my family likes that. So when sharing a pizza, I don't tend to get all that stuff. But we all have food that we really enjoy. You know, nothing quite like a nice roast meal, is there? Some of us, the smell of bacon and eggs in the morning. That favourite dessert that you have. They bring us joy, don't they? Don't you find that food that you really like, there's joy involved. There's often memories involved too in the food you really like because you remember when you shared it with others. Now, even if you have the most delicious, wonderful food you've ever had, what tends to happen the next day? You're hungry again, aren't you? It doesn't matter what we eat, we are going to get hungry again, aren't we? That's the way we work. That's the way biological beings work. We consume food, produces energy within us, produces waste as well, but once that energy is used up, once that food is used up, we need more food. And it's not just us biologicals, our machines need it too, your cars, right? They tend to still need petrol, they need oil, they need work. It is not once. It's not, I've had the best meal ever, I don't have to eat again. What happens if you follow that path? You die. It is estimated we can go 3 weeks. This is a healthy human being, so not me. But the average human being can go 3 weeks without food, without doing any serious damage to themselves. It's not pleasant. No one's saying it's pleasant. There's all these threes, you know, you can go 3 days without water before serious damage, you know, etc. But food is something that we need. It's something that we have to keep having because that's the way we are made. So we're on the same page for that. We understand food good. Let's keep having it. So in honour of that, we will have morning tea after this, so you can get some food. In the Hebrew passage this morning, and plus what's gone before in this particular chapter in Hebrews, the writer is talking about the way things worked back in the Old Testament. In particular, he's talking about the Day of Atonement and how that's all set up. If you want to read more, Leviticus 16 is all about it. I'm just going to touch on some of the highlights, if you like, of it. The Day of Atonement is something that our Jewish friends do still celebrate. They call it Yom Kippur. In their language, that's the Day of Atonement. If you have Jewish friends who are celebrating Yom Kippur, that's the Day of Atonement. But what used to happen back when they had sacrifices and all that was going on, this was the one day of the year that the high priest entered the most holy area. The temple was divided into different areas, and there was this most holy area where you came into basically the raw presence of God. And to do that, he had to offer up a bull as a sin sacrifice. And the blood of the bull had to be spread around so that he could enter. They would also get two goats. And one of the goats would be the sin offering for the people. And he would take that as well. So he had to do something for himself and something for the people. And so he would spread all this, and that would purify the place and purify him so he could enter God's presence. The purification, the washing, the cleansing that was needed was because the high priest, like you and me, was sinful. We mess up. We are not holy like God, are we? And therefore, to enter God's presence so that we don't drop dead, we need a cleansing to go on. And this was this cleansing process that went on and that he had to do so that he could enter the most holy place once a year. You may be saying, I thought you said two goats, only one was sacrificed for the people. Well, the other one, after he'd done what he needed to do in the most holy place, and as I said, go read Leviticus, you'll get all the other details. But he would then come out and lay his hands on the second goat and lay all the sins of the people of Israel on that goat. And what did he then do with that goat? Set it free. We often think he gets killed. No, this is what we call the scapegoat. We still have that word in English, scapegoat. This is the scapegoat. The goat hasn't done all these sins. It gets all the sins put upon it, and then it's sent away as symbolic of God casting the sins of Israel away, separating from your sin. And so, once the high priest had killed the bull, once the sacrifices have been made, once all the sin has been laid upon the goat and it's been sent away, Israel was holy, wasn't it? Israel was right with God. The end. Wouldn't it have been wonderful if it was? No. What happened, and this is what the writer to the Hebrews is pointing out, they had to do this every year. Plus there was all sorts of other sacrifices, but the writer's concentrating on what the high priest has to do. So the big sacrifice, the bull, it's nice talking to farmers and people familiar with farms. Bulls are big animals, aren't they? Expensive animals. Sacrificing one of them is costly. And the sacrifice of the bull was for whose sins? Just the high priest. And this expensive sacrifice needed to be done each and every year so that he could enter the room once. He couldn't enter it the next day. With all the work that goes in it, and if you read this chapter in Leviticus, you'll see all the, if you like, pomp and ceremony, all that has to go on so that he can enter that room once and then not allowed to do that again. But so each year they would go through all that again. Sin is such a problem that even going through all that they went through, that got them a small window of holiness, if you like, of being clean enough to enter into God's presence. We can see that there is a problem here. The problem, of course, is us. We are so badly tainted with sin We are so separated from God. We are so determined to do things our way. That it takes a lot of work even just to get a little access for one man. But what the writer to the Hebrews is pointing out is the good news of the gospel. Notice the but. One of the things we've been looking at in our Roman study, but I often like to point out in Scripture, look for the buts, look for the therefores, look often the connecting words. Often but can read but God, as in we have this big mess, and 9 times out of 10 we've created this big mess ourselves, but God. It's not that we've taken on a problem, we've solved it, we've earned glory, God's going to be happy with us. No, it's we've got ourselves in a big mess, we can't get ourselves out, but God steps in and does something. But he has appeared once for all, this time in this but, it's but Jesus. It's the same thing as but God, isn't it? But Jesus. He has appeared how often? Once, for this particular reason. It does mention later there is a second coming, but this once for all isn't just his appearance, it's why he's come. He became one of us. He was born. He grew. He lived as one of us. And his sacrifice, not the sacrifice of a bull, not the sacrifice of a goat, not the sending away of a goat, but the sacrifice of his own blood. As Paul says, he who was without sin was made sin. So there's a bit like that concept of the scapegoat going on here too, isn't it? Jesus is the one without sin, and all our sins are laid on him. How often are they laid on him? Once. His sacrifice on the cross is all that is necessary and sufficient to pay for our sins. Now, what the writer is saying here is, if you think of it like this, I stand before you as someone who has been forgiven through the life, death, and resurrection of my Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Jesus has died for my sins. I am forgiven. But I then go out after the church service, probably before the church service, and I mess up again. I don't show forth patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, all those characteristics that as a follower of Jesus I'm supposed to have. I get irritated. I yell at my wife. I don't take the opportunity to spend more time in God's word. I don't talk to him when I should do. I concentrate more on what I want and what I've missed out on, and I've sinned again, haven't I? I've messed up again. Oh, I've already claimed what Christ has done on the cross. So what happens for me now that I have messed up again? What happens? Exactly the same thing. His death on the cross paid for you and for me, for all of humanity, for all of our sins, past, present, and future. His death is so immense, so powerful, what Jesus has done for us, that it only needs to be done once. So what do I need to do when I mess up, as I'm inevitably going to do, is I have to come back to the cross. Not crucify Jesus again, but bring myself back in humility to the foot of the cross. Receive all that he has done for me. He doesn't need to die again. I need to repent again. I need to receive his forgiveness again. And that forgiveness is all coming from that one act. This is something that we as Christians often forget. And throughout history, we've often got messed up. There's periods of time where people, especially leaders, you know, I'm talking about kings and that sort of thing, didn't get baptized until it was close to their death. You know why? Because, well, there was two reasons. One, they weren't technically a Christian, so they could do very awful things. And second, they were worried that if they did one of those awful things after they were baptized, that was it. They were then kicked out of Christianity and heading to that other place where you don't want to go. But that's not what Scripture says, is it? Jesus' death was once and once for all. It is what was necessary and sufficient for all of us. This does tie in, as I just mentioned, into baptism. How often do we get baptized? Well, you know, it's supposed to be just once, yes. Some of us, myself included, have been baptized more than once. But baptism is meant, the way it's taught in Scripture, is meant to be once. Why is it meant to be once? Why, you know, if we need forgiveness, then why don't we do that? You know, I've messed up, let's get baptized again. It's sort of a bit like people who maybe have had a rocky period in their marriage or a separation decide to, in a sense, get married again, you know, to say the words again. Well, baptism is meant to be once and once for all for us, because in baptism, and Paul says this nicely in Romans 6, that in baptism we are joined with Christ in his death. How often did Christ get killed? Once. So we are joined with him in his death, and we are raised to life with him in his resurrection. He was resurrected once. That joining. In baptism, we are not talking about what we do, but what we receive. As some of you know, in my past, I had a history of being with the Baptist Church. I've been Lutheran more than anything else. I've had a whole collection of different denominations in my past. But I have found, especially over the last year or so, that I find myself correcting myself when it used to be quite common for me to say to someone, do you want to be baptized? Are you going to get baptized? People would say, I want to be baptized. I want my child to be baptized. I want my grandchild to be baptized. I prefer to now say, I want to receive baptism. Baptism is not something I do, but something I get. You see what I'm getting at here? It is not an action that I do. Yes, of course, a baby is not going to be baptized by itself unless someone brings it. If you're an adult, you're not going to have someone drag you into the water, are you? You're involved in it, but what I do in baptism is so small compared to what God does for me in baptism. And what he does for us is sufficient once and for all because of what Jesus has done once and for all, because we're tied to his death and resurrection in baptism. But just as we are only baptized once doesn't mean that we don't keep coming back to our baptism, keep remembering what God has done. If you are baptized as an infant, you need others to help you remember. You need to see in Scripture, whenever it's talking about baptism, those who have been baptized, it's talking about me. But the writer continues, just as people are destined to die once, we are physically born once, and we die once. Remember, that was a big confusion Nicodemus had when Jesus was talking about being born again. What the heck is that? Physically, we are born once and we die once. And after that, to face judgment. Now, this part, if this verse, if you took this verse just by itself, and I do argue there's a danger of taking verses just by themselves, this sort of seems a bit doom and glooming. I'm going to die and then I've got to face the wrath of God. Judgment. How well would I stand up in judgment? Not good. No. I don't think I like that. But once again, we don't stay on a verse like this. This is not what the writer is getting at. He's pointing out this is the normal thing. Except for what Christ has done. We've already said that Christ once for all paid the price for sin. So when you encounter verses like Hebrews 9:27, you hold up Romans 8:1. This is something we've been looking at in Bible study the last couple of weeks. The good news of the gospel. The bad news is we die once and face judgment. The good news is that therefore there is now no what? No condemnation, no judgment, no penalty. For everyone? No. For those who are in Christ Jesus. Those who put their trust in Jesus. Back in chapter 6, as I said of Romans, Paul talks about being in Christ as referring to our baptism. We are baptized into Christ Jesus. We are joined to his death and resurrection. If we're joined to his death and resurrection, when our punishment comes, our response is, Jesus is Lord. Jesus. And Christ sees not me, but my Saviour. He sees not you in judgment, but he sees our Lord Jesus. That is why there is no condemnation. That is the great joy of Christianity, that we can keep coming back to the cross. We can keep receiving forgiveness until Christ returns. And when he returns, we will join with those who have passed before us, and there will be the great resurrection where we will receive our new glorified bodies, where there will be no more sin, no more death, no more suffering, where we will spend eternity with our Lord and Saviour. Why? Because our Lord Jesus died once for all of us. Hold on to that surety. Not the surety that I can save myself, but the assurance that Jesus has paid for all of your sins, past, present and future. That there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Keep coming back to the cross. Keep coming back to your Lord. And whilst we are baptized once, we share in his body and blood frequently. This is something to refresh us. Once again, rather than going to communion, we should be thinking about receiving. Everything we receive from God as we partake in his, in Christ's body and blood is all tied to that once for all death. We continue to receive forgiveness, don't we? We continue to receive his grace. We continue to be invited into his presence. So whilst Christ died once, therefore we are baptized once. Whilst we continue to mess up here on earth, we need to share around the table frequently. We need to each day confess our sins. We need to each day come back to the cross. Luther claimed that each day we need, and he was including himself, probably actually said it in first person, each day I need to hear the gospel because each day I forget it. We're a bit slack up here at times. So let's encourage one another. Remind one another, you are a baptized follower of Jesus. You are one whom Christ died for. Your sins, past, present and future, are forgiven. Go and be Jesus' followers wherever you find yourself. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.